coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, folks, to this very special edition of the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, October 12th, 2022. Don't adjust your screen. No, this is audio only today because we have a very, very special guest, Pastor David Langford, voiceofevangelism.com, thevoiceofevangelism.com. As a matter of fact, the link will be in the program description box. And folks, please do me a favor. Because of the times in which we find ourselves today, please go to and bookmark Pastor Langford's website and get as much enrichment, spiritual enrichment from his website, from his words, his writings that you possibly can. As a matter of fact, this weekend, I was sitting down with his book, Revelation 13 Revealed. And I've got to say that it warmed my spirit, my heart, touched my soul. It really did. And I'm not, that's not flattery. That's just the way it is. Because when I look at the issues, you and I, folks, you listen to me talk about food inflation being up just an absolute stunning 12%, 11.9%. I don't mean to exaggerate. Wholesale prices rising faster than expected. You've got our own pharmaceutical companies partnering with the Communist Chinese Party, tied to military and espionage efforts. You've got incompetence or nefarious activity everywhere you look. You know something isn't right. We all feel it. Many of the decisions made in recent years by politicians and corporations and school boards and Wall Street, the military, media, public, I mean, I can go on and on and on, in more ways than one, seem incomprehensible, don't they? Unless, of course, you look at this properly through a spiritual battle, that this is a spiritual battle. And have you noticed when you tune into, you could tune in perhaps to InfoWars and Alex Jones talking about the spiritual nature of the battle in which we find ourselves today. He's talking more and more and more and more about it. There's a reason for that. Because we all get to that point, I think we all evolve to the point of realizing there's something right. It doesn't feel right. We all know this deep in our spirit. And then we realize the spiritual nature of the battle in which we find ourselves. All the news seems like bad news. And I've been getting email after email after email. And I am not exaggerating. People who are losing hope. I received an email from, it's difficult for me to talk about it, a family friend whose wife committed suicide. Do you know why? Because in her words, and I'm not going to get into the details, in her words, she just couldn't take the troubles anymore. The news, everything is bad. And you know, we can't live like that. To me, I can't live like that. I've got to be able to offer hope, offer some intellectually grounded spiritual hope to the audience, to you. Otherwise, I might as well just leave and go play golf or something. So we have to find that hope, knowing that God has this. God has got this, despite the news. So with me, and I'm not going to take up any more time, a very, very good friend of the program, a very good friend of mine, America's pastor. I like to call him America's pastor. I believe he should be America's pastor. He's certainly my pastor, and that's Pastor David Langford. Pastor, thanks for coming on today.
Doug, it's always a joy to be with you, to share the word of God with you and your listeners. And I thank you for your opening. It is a very, very uncertain time. And that's why I wanted to come today and encourage the people and talk to everyone about our prayer lives. Because with what's coming upon the earth, we're not where we need to be in Christ. Many are going to struggle, and as you well said, they're going to feel hopeless, believing they have no way out. They will take their lives, and that's prophecy. Luke 21:26, Jesus said, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Everything is going to be shaken. Everything is going to be moved out of its natural state and place. But as I said to you before the program, Israel and the Exodus, what did they witness? They witnessed pestilence, disease, famine, sickness, a plethora of things that happened in those 10 plagues. But it did not come nigh Israel, because they were covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's going to be the secret for people today. It's going to be based solely upon your relationship with Jesus, not how much food you have stored or how much gold or silver you have or any of those things. Jesus is the God of all flesh. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We know in one point he fed 5,000 men plus the women and children with 2 barley loaves and 5 small fishes. Only the God of Abraham can create on the spot the magnitude of that much food. It's believed if you count the women and the children, there were between 15 and 20,000 people at that one meeting. He did this numerous times in his ministry. 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but he multiplied it. And then when he got done, there were 12 baskets of fragments taken up in one setting, 7 baskets in another setting. He authenticates, he validates, he demonstrates he is who he says he is. And I want to talk to people today, God willing, about the need to pray and to pray without ceasing. There's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 where Paul said, pray without ceasing. Don't quit. Don't give up. But be persistent. Be determined. Remain enduring. Because it's going to be prayer and the word of God that gets us through this tumultuous hour. I know as a believer, sometimes we become weary. We become fatigued concerning our prayer lives. It does take energy. It does take strength. It does take determination to go faithfully to the throne of God and seek his face on a regular basis. But with all the tempest that is arising in the world, people are becoming weary. But as a child of God, we're to never cease. We're to never tire or faint or grow weary when it comes to our prayer lives. We must remain steadfast, and we must be in fervent pursuit of God's will and God's purpose, not only for our lives, but for those around us. A little over 2 years ago, before the 2020 presidential election, the Lord laid on my heart to really enhance my prayer life, to pray more than I was praying. And now for about 26, 27 months, I have accelerated. That was the word the Lord gave me in 2012 after a 21-day fast. We see everything is accelerating off the charts. But he admonished me to spend more time in prayer. And since I have been spending more time in prayer, I have seen God move in so many different ways. In the last year and a half, both of my two sons have rededicated their lives to the Lord, faithfully serving him, faithfully going to church, faithfully tithing and giving and working diligently to serve the Lord. Yesterday, I've been praying for 2 years for an IT person, someone to help me in the ministry. And when I was reaching out to one particular person, the Lord opened up a door for another particular person. And now God has opened a door for someone to come in and help me with the social media, the ministry, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things I begin to do more is thank God for what he's doing. Too many times in our prayer lives, they are negative. We're murmuring, we're grumbling, we're complaining, we're bickering, we're reminding God of all of our difficulties, of all of our struggles, of all of our troubles. But David said in Psalms 34, verse 3, he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." And I've learned when I get down to pray, instead of petitioning God, start thanking God first. Thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him for the Holy Spirit. Thank him for the word of God that is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Thank him for the peace that he provides in my heart and my mind. Thank him for the wisdom to navigate the perils of the daily life. But too many times we never thank God hardly for anything. And so whatever we magnify is going to get bigger. So if we magnify the danger, the peril, and the toil, it becomes bigger than God. But if we magnify the Lord, he then becomes bigger than all of our circumstances. And as I know, everyone listening may feel like their back is against the wall. People are having all sorts of difficulties. I had a lady just the other day wrote me a letter. Her husband has cancer. She also has cancer, and she's his main caregiver. And I thought, Lord, what distress, what a perplexing situation to know the sickness of her husband. And she's also has breast cancer, and here now she's the caregiver for him. And it drives me to pray for her and her husband and for others. Why? Because I see what's taking place in the earth. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58, he said, "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." Now, there's a lot in that those two verses right there. Number one, we're to thank God. That's how Paul started it out. He said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory." You say, "Well, I don't have any victory." Thank God for the victory that's coming. Thank God for his faithfulness. And when you feel that victory, that surge of victory through the Holy Spirit, he says that'll cause you to become steadfast. That will allow you to become unmovable. And because of that, you can always abound in the work of the Lord. And then you will know, because of God's faithfulness, you will know that your labor is not in vain. The word vain there just means worthless. You'll know that your prayer, your Bible study, your dedication, your consecration, you know that it will never, ever, ever be in vain. Now, the devil will always make you think you're wasting your time, you're spinning your wheels, and you're not really getting anywhere. Faith keeps believing in spite of the difficulties. Faith keeps pursuing God no matter what the news is. Faith keeps trusting God no matter what's taking place in our lives. And I want to go to the passage, Doug, that we spoke about last week and, of course, this morning. And that's in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. As I was rereading the book of Mark some weeks ago, this verse spoke to me about my prayer life. Not about the sowing of the seed, but it spoke to me about my prayer life. So what did Jesus say there in Mark 4, 26 and 27? And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. Here's what caught my eye. He knoweth not how. He doesn't know how it works. This is applicable to your prayer life. You are consistent in praying. Prayer is a type of sowing spiritual seed. And as you pray and you keep sowing seed and you remain faithful, you will never know how God will answer that prayer. Of course, this is applicable here to the seed that has been sown. He knoweth not how. In the natural, you take a kernel of corn, you sow it in the ground. Something miraculously happens to that kernel of corn. What it actually does, it dies. And then it comes forth as a green, beautiful, lush stalk of corn, sometimes two, three, as many as four ears of corn on that green stalk, great long green leaves. All of that was in the seed. And so I felt the Lord say, apply that to your prayer life. You'll never know how God is going to answer a prayer. You'll never know who God's going to bring into your life. You'll never know who God's going to take out of your life, because it is a great mystery. But what we have to understand is everything that God is doing in our lives is for our good. God is not in the business of hurting his people. His people are hurt enough in the world, and even people who call themselves Christians hurt one another and harm and injure one another. And of course, many times they say, well, you know, this is the devil, whatever the case might be. God has a plan, and what may appear to be evil in the sight of God, it is a good thing. Joseph told his brothers, he said, you guys meant this for evil. He said, God meant it for good. And of course, Joseph's life was in perpetuity regarding defeat, loneliness, isolated. Where is God? You know, I thought when I got down to Egypt and I was sold into Potiphar's house, everything was going to be hunky-dory. But no, his wife tries to seduce me. She lies on me. She castigates me. Now I'm thrown in prison. But all the way through the process, God was getting Joseph to Pharaoh's courts. And I thought about that again the other day. Pharaoh was the only man in all of Egypt that had more power than Joseph. Joseph was a Jew. Joseph was a Hebrew. Yet God planted him in the mightiest Gentile nation at that time in the world and made him second in command. And I'm certitude Joseph was consistent in his prayer life. Because when Potiphar's wife sought to seduce him, you know, she said, just come lie with me. You know, we'll just cuddle. We won't do anything. She was seducing him, and she got to the point she couldn't handle it anymore. So she literally grabbed a hold of the man of God. Thus, he ran out of his garment. He fled. That tells me he was a man of prayer, because conviction in his heart would not allow him to yield to spiritual and physical seduction. He wouldn't suffer that. He wouldn't allow that in his life. And men and women who pray, that's what keeps sin out of our lives. When we don't pray, we're giving place, we're giving room for the enemy to come in and find a place of residence. Now, getting back to this man that is scattering this seed upon the ground, Jesus explains to us the process as it evolves around the farmer's life, and that he talks about his routine both night and day, meaning the farmer sleeps, He arises, and this process of labor and of rest continues for quite some time after having sown the seed. And he talks, you know, about sleeping and awakening and laboring in the garden, et cetera, et cetera. What's happening? Just like prayer, the seeds of prayer are silently growing. You know, when we go in Matthew 6, Jesus said, go into your closet, enter into thy closet, pray to thy Father which seeth thee in secret, and thy Father shall reward thee openly. The man sowed the seed, and it was openly manifest when one day, all of a sudden, the farmer saw a blade as it broke forth through the soil. But Jesus said, here's the mystique, here's the mystery. He said, the farmer, he knoweth not how. And when we pray, we don't always know exactly how God is going to answer the prayer. And let me say this, Doug. When God answers a prayer for you, he's also answering a prayer for someone else, because it's not just about we as individuals, but it's about all of us. When God is working, he's working in your life. He's working in your wife, Eric, Jackie. He's working in everyone's life, and people that are, you know, out at an arm's length relationship. God is touching them, and God is moving all the pieces of the puzzle to fulfill this great piece of tapestry that God is doing. I hate to use the word network. It's a little carnal, I suppose, but God is networking so many things right now. He's putting all the pieces in place, and he's working this all together for our good. And that's why we cannot become weary in well-doing, and we cannot cease in praying and seeking the Lord. And so the seed, there's a mystery. As we put the seed of corn in the ground, and we go about our daily lives, we work, we labor, we eat, we rest, et cetera, et cetera. But then one day you walk out there to the garden, and all of a sudden there's a blade that has sprung forth, and you know that seed has died, and now it's coming forth. Well, Jesus said in John 12 and 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it bideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So when we are praying, we are dying out to the world. We are crucifying our flesh. I read an article some time ago, and I kind of rephrased it. When we exhale, that's when we're praying. We're exhaling out our humanity. We're breathing out ourselves. But then when we inhale in prayer, we're inhaling the Word and the Spirit of God. And what we inhale changes us. It changes us. And we inhale the Word. We inhale the Spirit of God. And when we breathe out, we're breathing out self. We're breathing out our failures, our anomalies, our aberrations, our struggles. We breathe those out, and we breathe in God's Spirit, and then God begins to formulate a plan and a purpose for the entirety of our lives. God has a plan for your life until you expire. It's not just a partial plan. It is a entire plan from A to Z. God doesn't have A, B, and C. God has A to Z. He fulfills everything in us. Our job, trust him in spite of what we see. And I know the devil, he tries so adamantly to hinder every one of us. But here's what we need to understand. God is faithful. And because God is faithful, we must remain faithful. And though you're not seeing prayers maybe answered right now, that's just like the man sowing the seed. You don't walk out the next day and say, where's the corn? It's not there yet. It is a process. And prayer is a process and bringing God's divine plan to fruition. And a house is not built in a day. It takes months. There's a process. And if we continue to pray, you will soon begin to witness God's construction in your life. And if you keep on remaining faithful, one day you'll see the roof and the house will be finished because you have been consistent in your prayer life. You didn't quit, you know, when they got it framed up and the windows put in. No, you kept on praying and praying and praying and praying. And of all the things the disciples asked Christ, the one thing they asked him to teach them was, they said, teach us how to pray. They didn't say, teach us how to prophesy, teach us how to preach, teach us how to minister. They said, teach us how to pray. If Jesus, the Son of the living God, spent the time he did in prayer, I think we need to spend more time in prayer, Doug.
Amen to that. And if I just might add this, you know, I used to get up in the morning and immediately check the news and see what happened. Now I've changed my routine. I start my day out with time in the with the Word, and it makes a huge difference in my attitude. Yes. And how things go.
And see, that's the Holy Spirit that is working in your life and helping you to prioritize what's the most important. And that's, see, prayer helps everyone get their lives prioritized. E.M. Bounds, I believe it's who said it, he said, a man that quits praying will start sinning. A man that keeps praying will stop sinning. Because you can't get down, Doug, every morning on your knees and talk to God, whether it's 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, and it not change your life. It changes our lives. And that's what Jesus wants to see in us. And with what we're going to witness in the coming future, and I know I upset people when I tell them we're not there yet. I've said that now for years. Because if you pray, you will ascertain the mind of God. Philippians 2:5, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus had the mind of God in its totality. Because of our humanity, we filter, or other things are filtered through our lives and it skews the perfection of God. But the consistent and persistent prayer lives negates and holds at bay that the enemy is trying to use to skew the plan, the will of God for our lives. And so that consistent prayer life helps form our lives, direct our lives. You know, every day, this morning already, I've prayed, God, give me wisdom. The world is too cunning. The world is too crafty. The world is too shrewd for me to navigate it on my own mentation. My mental state is not able to navigate the lies, the hypocrisy, the duplicity, the perversity. I can't navigate that in the natural. I need the supernatural touch of God. And when you pray, you're entering into a supernatural channel. Prayer, I shouldn't maybe use the word channel, but I'm trying to be self-explanatory or help you to understand it. You're getting into the Spirit of the Lord. You're plugging into something that's genuine, something that is real, something that will help you. And, you know, according to God's word, he does answer prayer. Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cry. So when we pray consistently, we're laying a foundation, and then God begins to move and bring all things together. This is why it's important to pray. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. Now, in a very simplistic way, God hears everything. But when we're praying according to his will, those will be the prayers he answered. And what does that do? John said, this is the confidence that we have. Not confidence in Doug Hagman, not confidence in David Lankford, but confidence and the God in whom we are praying and communing and fellowshipping with. You know, prayer is a place of communion with God. And I hate to say this, but prayer is one of the greatest tools that God ever gave the church. And sadly, it's one of the least used prayers in the church today. People just don't spend the time praying like they should pray. They, just like what you said, that is so awesome that you, in your heart, in your life, you saw the need instead of finding what happened last night, et cetera, et cetera. You said, I'm going to talk to God first. I'm going to commune with God. I want God to speak to me first this morning before CNN or Fox News or whoever speaks to me. I want God to speak to me. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, Paul said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now, this is why when we pray, this allows the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to begin to fill our lives. Not only when we pray do we get grace, there's a greater manifestation, Paul said, and the love of God. And the grace and the love of God then allows us, as he said here in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the communion of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, Jesus said, he's the comforter. I'm telling you, if you'll get down and pray and spend more time in prayer, everyone listening, and you have that communion with the Lord, you'll see God move in your life. But what will be more powerful than that? The comfort and the solace, the peace, the placidity that you will have in your heart as we navigate the peril of the world right now. And we all see what's taking place. The complexion, the face of America is changing so quickly and so drastically. If people do not become more spiritually minded, they're going to be caught up in the whirlwind of destruction. Satan is no longer hiding his craftiness. He now openly seeks to destroy America. And sadly, there seems to be very little interest or concern with what's taking place in our nation. Just the remnant, Doug, like you and your programming, your family, my family, you know, we're saints of God. We're praying. We're concerned with what we see taking place in America. But most people don't care. You know, just let me get my food stamps. Let me get my six pack. You know, let me get my pizza and I'm good to go. That's all about to change. That is all about to change. I read the other day in a place called Katy, Texas, at the First Christian Church. And what they did was they had a drag bingo night. Drag bingo night. And they were trying to raise money for the church's clothing boutique for its trans youth. Trans youth. So instead of teaching young people and training young people in discipleship and in following the tenets of Christ, they're being taught the evils and the wickedness of sin. And it will be sin that will be the ultimate demise and ruin of America. We want to blame it on Joe Biden. Listen, he's just a man. He's flawed. Look how inept he is. His dementia, he looks like a crash dummy to me. This is pathetic. But Paul said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling. Joe Biden, these people, they're just pawns. They're just pawns of the enemy. Satan has them in his grasp. He has them in his control. You know, I despise the hypocrisy that people run around and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But then they curse like a sailor. They smoke dope. They drink liquor. They raise hell. They commit adultery. They fornicate. They're sodomites, et cetera, et cetera. And yet they still say, I'm a Christian. This is why Jesus gave us an analogy in Matthew chapter 13. You got wheat and you got tares. They don't crossbreed. In the end of the age, when Jesus comes, you will either be found as a wheat or you will be found as a tare. And I was reading some weeks ago, and I've read this only the Lord knows how many times. I can't count the times I read Matthew chapter 25. But I was reading it again the other day, some weeks ago, and something jumped out at me that was absolutely spectacular. And that's Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And that jumped out at me, and all the holy angels, not some or just angels. Matthew's gospel said, and all the holy angels. And it startled me when I saw it in the Holy Spirit, when I saw it through the lens of the Spirit of God. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute here. What about the fallen angels and Satan, Lucifer, Diablos? God abandons heaven and brings all the angels to the earth. But it dawned on me, when he gets ready to come, when he comes, he's going to lay hold of Satan, cast him in the bottomless pit, going to bind the rest of the fallen angels and Tartarus, bind them with chains in the midst of darkness, Jude said. And so he can afford to bring all the angels because there will be no one to disrupt the heavens. And we know, according to Revelation chapter 5, that the angels are 10,000s times thousands and thousands of thousands. That's myriads. It's innumerable. And God, when he brings all those angels, and only God knows how many there are, but that's what he said, and all the holy angels with him. Well, that tells me right there, there'll be no defeating of God, Jehovah, Elohim, Jesus, the Lord's Christ, because all these luminaries, all these angels will be with him. But what are these angels coming to do? Oh, they're coming to separate the wheat from the tares, because now it is harvest time. And the angels are going to do this. Matthew 13, verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, or them which are lawless. So I don't mean to be ugly and hurt anyone's feelings, but there will be no pre-tribulation rapture. Because when Jesus comes, he removes everyone, everything that offends, and them that do iniquity. Then in the same chapter, Matthew 13, 49 and 50, so shall it be at the end of the world or the end of the age. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Our inheritance as saints of God is the earth. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Our inheritance is the earth. The wicked have no inheritance. So the angels shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them in the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So God's going to remove the wicked and the lawless and going to put them into the hell, the lake of fire, both of them. And so you and I must remain consistent. We must remain persistent. We just can't deviate in this hour. And this is why I'm admonishing, I'm encouraging everyone, please spend more time in prayer. Do what Doug said. Don't get up and look at the news. Get up and talk to God. Talk to God. It's been about 5 years ago now. I was in the bed, 6 o'clock in the morning, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, go upstairs and pray now. I got up, I came upstairs, and I got on my knees, and I began to pray. And I said, God, I don't know what I'm up here for. I don't know what I'm praying about, but I'm going to ask you for one thing. If you will give me mercy, if you will give me divine mercy, whatever I'm about to encounter, whatever I'm about to face for me and my family, I said, whatever's coming down the pike, mercy will intervene and I'll be saved, or my family, or whatever the case. I don't know, but I know you've told me to come pray. And I, admittedly, I don't know what to pray for. That was 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. 4 a.m. Sunday morning, my phone rings. Anybody with half a brain and one eye knows when the phone rings at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's not good, especially having pastored 27 years. When my phone rings after midnight, it's usually bad. Phone rang. I got up, went into the kitchen, answered the phone. It was my youngest son, Linton, in the back of an ambulance. He said, "Dad, I got good news, I got bad news." I said, "Well, what's the good news?" He said, "Well, I've had an automobile accident, and I'm all right. I'm in the back of an ambulance." He said, "But I got a couple of cuts in my head, and I hurt my leg. But other than that, I'm all right." I said, "What's the bad news?" He said, "I totaled my truck." He wrapped it around a pine tree doing over 90 miles an hour. If I could show you, I wish I could show you the pictures of that truck. You would not believe it. It looked like an S frame. It was wrapped around that tree so bad. And he had his seatbelt on. And he said, "Dad, when I came to, the seatbelt was undone. Had the seatbelt stayed fastened, I would have been dead because the pine tree was sitting in the console of the truck." He was pushed all the way up against the passenger door and had another guy in there with him. Neither one of them got really hurt. And I fell on my knees. I said, "God, thank you for unctionizing me to pray and the Spirit helping me to pray for mercy." You see, God knows absolutely everything that's taking place. In every one of our lives, God is aware of everything that's taking place. He knows the future. He knew what would happen, nearly 36 hours later, what would happen with my son. God knows everything. And see, our prayers can change future events. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." I can't help you can't believe that. But I've seen God answer too many prayers and help me in so many different ways. And this is what he does. I hope nobody misunderstands me. We can change the future if we pray. Now, that may sound mystical to you. I don't mean for it to sound that way. That may seem off the charts to you, witchcraft, whatever, but that's not the application. That's not what I mean. I'm telling you, we can pray and God can intervene and God can change things. But the responsibility is not in God's hands. The responsibility is in our hands. And when we pray according to his will, God is going to change things. And that's why I can't overly emphasize the need for prayer. And just like the farmer, he knoweth not how. He knoweth not how. You may never, ever know when you get unctionized to pray about something, how God is going to do it, how God is going to perform it. He said, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Then Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, the devil will tell you the way you're going is all right, but God says the way that you're going is not all right. And this is where prayer changes us. I mean, every time I've knelt down to pray, I've said this I don't know how many times. After I got up from prayer, my circumstance, my situation may not have changed immediately, but I was changed. God gave me another measure of grace. God gave me another measure of mercy. God gave me another day of endurance. He gave me something to help me to get to the next morning to pray, Doug. And then he gives me something to get me through to the next day. And we just keep on praying. And we know not how God is going to do it. But I promise everyone listening, if you will pray and you will commune with God, as Paul the Apostle spoke of, God is going to move in your life. And Doug, I want to encourage you personally. The Lord is pleased with your heart. He's pleased with your life. He loves you. And in spite of all of your difficulties, in spite of all the aberrations, in spite of all the anomalies, the Holy Ghost says to trust him. Trust him with all of your heart. trust him with everything. Don't try to hold or harness or grasp anything. Let God have absolute control, and he will bring you through everything that Satan is trying to wield against you, because he is faithful. He is the God of all flesh. He can do anything because he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is God, and there's nothing that he cannot do. And I want you to believe him for that, Doug. I want you to trust him for that. Everyone listening, that word is for you. Everyone listening is going through difficulties. But let me tell you, God can make the crooked path straight. He can cause the storm to cease and be still and the sun to shine again in a matter of a minute. He's God. There's just nothing that God cannot do. And the more you pray and the more you commune and the more you fellowship with God, the more you will understand that. Listen, friend, God is bigger than your problems. You keep magnifying the difficulties. You keep magnifying the injury or the harm or the loss. Quit magnifying that. Start magnifying the Lord God of Abraham. Praise God. He is so faithful. He is so loving. Yes, he gets weary and tired with our sin. And that's why we need to quit sinning and keep praying. Get our lives cleaned up. Jesus is coming, and he's coming for a church that's without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And I want to tell you, too many people have got too many blemishes on their wedding garment, and that wedding garment that you now possess is not worthy, not fit to enter into the kingdom of God. You must let the blood of the Lamb launder your garment, that it might be found worthy to be entered into the kingdom of God. In Revelation chapter 7, there was this vast, vast number of people, and John asked the angel, who are these? John said, you know, I don't know who these are. And what did the angel say? He said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That word washed in the Greek is laundered. I love that. Laundered. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The blood cleanses spots, wrinkles, blemishes. It doesn't matter what they are. The blood will cleanse and make your garment spotless, without a spot, without a wrinkle, without a blemish. Doug, can I pray for everyone?
Please. And if I can just say this, you know,
sure.
Again, folks, we talk every program, we talk about the issues, about the ugliness in the news, the bad people, the people who are ruining the world, essentially. But what Pastor Lankford said, number one, I believe that everyone listening right now, you were born for this time. And number two, I'll say this, and I've found this to be my only way out. When I turn my problems over to God through prayer, and as you said, Pastor, thank him in advance for guiding me through the day, guiding me through the ugliness, guiding me through everything. I'll tell you what, I magnify his word over the ugliness, and it makes a big difference. So yes, please pray. And I believe everyone listening, folks, you're supposed to be listening to this. And please, please do me a favor. Pass this along to someone who's struggling. Let them listen to Pastor's words. Go ahead, sir.
Father, I am so humbled that you would allow me to come before your throne. None of us are worthy to approach your holy, holy, holy throne. But you love us. Thus you invite us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and help and grace in the day of trouble. The psalmist declared, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The apostle Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul went on to say, for our light affliction which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can come, Father, and we can petition you in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus, the Christ of God. Father, we pray today in Jesus' name. We come humbly and we cast every care, we cast every burden, all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, all of our anomalies and aberrations that possess these physical bodies, we cast them at the foot of the cross. And we ask you, Lord, to intervene in our hearts and in our lives. Those who are listening right now that are so deeply troubled about their job or about their children or about their marriage, their husband or their wife or their son or their daughter, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would brood over them and that they would magnify, they would glorify your most holy name. They would thank you, Lord. They would be mindful that their blessings and their help and their strength, it comes from you, the Father above, in whom there is no variableness, and neither is there any shadow of turning, because you're the Lord's Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change, Lord, and I thank you for that. I thank you that you are immutable, that you are the same, and you never change. You never waver. Now, Lord, I pray for every home. I pray for every family. I pray for every businessman and every businesswoman that is faithful in tithing and giving. I pray supernatural blessings on their businesses, Lord, as we enter into this very tempestuous hour. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would brood upon everyone, that they may have their focus on you and not on their troubles, Lord. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I'm aware of that, Lord. But you give us daily bread and you give us daily grace and you give us daily sustenance that we might run the race and finish the course with joy. Paul prayed that he would finish with joy. And in the closing of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, God, I pray that everyone listening will keep the faith, no matter how dark it comes upon the earth and upon the world. And we know that it will, Lord. We know that it will. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines and troubles and pestilence and diseases. But Lord, we're attached to your body through the vicarious work that your Son accomplished on the cross. We are attached to you. We are now flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, Lord. Now I ask that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as it comes from the head of Christ, let it flow all the way down to every member of the body, the church, because the church is your body, Lord. Let that anointing come down even to the little toe, even those who seemingly are insignificant, Lord. Let that anointing of the Holy Spirit come down to them, Father, and minister to their every need. Now, Lord, I pray supernatural blessings in the coming days. Lord, you are God of sustenance. You can make water come out of rocks. You can make manna come down from heaven. You can send birds, quails to feed the people. You can do anything, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you and I honor you for that, Lord. And I thank you. I thank you so much, Lord, for loving us and loving us so much. You did not leave us in the wilderness. You did not leave us on the backside of the desert, but you came to where we were when we were lost, and you reached down to us, and you brought us out of the horrible pit and the miry clay, and you set our feet on a solid rock. And Lord, for that, I thank you so much, and I praise you. I thank you for Doug. I thank you for his life, his testimony, and his faithfulness, and his enduring, Lord, his endurance, that he stays steadfast. Now bless him and his ministry and his gifts, his talents, and his family. Bless them, keep them, watch over them, Father. And we ask it all. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. And, you know, what you started out with, what you said, Mark chapter 4, verse 27, he knoweth not how. To me, I don't need to know how. I just need to know it works And that's the faith I have. And to everyone out there, I pray, and I mean this, I pray for everyone listening every single day that you have the faith and you pray and you keep on keeping on and don't lose hope ever, ever. Don't lose hope. And when you feel like you are, and look, I'm not a minister, I'm not a pastor, I'm just some guy sitting here. When you're lost, confused, or you feel that, get on your knees and thank God in advance, like Pastor said, thank God in advance, and be obedient and be faithful. And Pastor, thank you, because we need this. We needed this so much. There was so much to what you said, and I cannot thank you enough for the message and for the passion for what you do. And you're out there every day, really changing the world, changing the hearts and minds of people. And for that, I thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for allowing me to be on your program and to share the word of God. That's God's going, because you've been faithful in honoring God, Doug. God will honor you. He God will be a debtor to no man. He will owe no man anything. He always repays, and he always repays so much more than what we're worthy of. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, we have about 3 minutes left. In that 3 minutes, I give that to you in the 3 minutes we have. Is there anything else that is speaking to you? I don't know. There may be people out there, who need to hear something. Is there anything, any unction that you have to speak to anyone out there?
Well, let me say this in closing. The world is going to change so fast. We're in a transitional period. It's going to change so fast. It will be like a merry-go-round. You will absolutely get dizzy if you don't become rooted and grounded in Christ. That's why we're taught those principles. Be rooted and grounded. Be unmovable. Because Hebrews 12 and 25, God's going to shake everything that can be shaken. God's allowing this. See, God himself did not send the Babylonian army. He used them to bring punishment upon Israel. God's too holy, too righteous. He brings natural incidences or armies or whatever to deal with sin and rebellion. But everything is going to go into an upheaval. And it's a transitioning. And what it's doing is actually preparing us for the second advent of Christ. And it's painful. It is absolutely painful. That's why Jesus related his coming to a woman having a child. And people need to understand it's going to get painful. But we don't have to live in the defeat and in the sin. We live outside of that. That's why he said in Revelation 18, "For come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins and her plagues." So isolate yourself in the Lord, because it will change. And I think 2023 is going to be unbelievable in the change and how quickly it changes. I mean, it's hard to believe in less than 2 years what Joe Biden has done to America and the world. This is just the beginning. But if we keep our faith in Jesus Christ and we pray and we read the Bible and we bathe our mind in the Word of God, and God will speak to you again. That last phrase in Mark 4:27, "He knoweth not how." Don't worry about how God's going to do it. Just know that God will do it because he loves you. He loves you so much. You just don't know how much he loves you. He doesn't love the sin. He doesn't love the sin. He doesn't embrace the sin. But he wants you to become a vessel of honor that's meet for his use. And prayer will keep you sanctified. And prayer will keep you a vessel of honor that is meet for the master's use. And that's what you need to do, because the world is going to spin like a top. That's all right. He has the world in the palm of his hand.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor David Langford, thevoiceofevangelism.com. That's thevoiceofevangelism.com. And folks, while you're there, watch Time Disposal. There's a great video there, Time Disposal. I know that we spoke about that. And of course, Mrs. Langford talking as well. My goodness. Thank you, Pastor, for everything you do. God bless you. And again, many thanks for a message well needed. Good night, folks.
Thank you, Doug. God bless you.